there's a better place to get your podcasts. GCNLive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNLive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
Our guest in this hour is Robert W. Sullivan. We're going to be talking about his book, Cinema Symbolism. And this is a fascinating book. If you're somebody that likes to go to the movies, the message here is that there's a lot more going on than what you might be seeing on the screen. In other words, it's kind of like peeling an onion. There's symbolism. There's things that you might be seeing, or the movie that you're watching could be a metaphor for something else completely different from what you think the movie's about. Fascinating book. And it gets into, we go from everything from The Wizard of Oz to The Exorcist to Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, quite a large time period and quite a large variety of movies that are reviewed in this way. And our guest is Robert W. Sullivan IV. He's a philosopher, historian, and expert in antiques. His parents had been involved in the antique business. He's also a theologian, a writer, radio TV personality, and a lawyer. Robert Sullivan, welcome to Jim Paris Live for the first time, sir.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on your show tonight. Great to be here with you tonight. Thank you.
Hey, I love your book. It's fascinating. And I posted this on Facebook a few days ago, and I had several people just message me, hey, what is this all about? It evokes a lot of questions from people. Let me start, though, with my biggest question, and then we can kind of work our way through this book, which is really fascinating. You can get it, folks, over at Amazon. You can get it by way of Kindle, or you can get it as a paperback. It's Cinema Symbolism. Let me ask you, though, about these hidden messages in movies, these metaphors, or in some cases, these actual symbols. You might see the number 13 all throughout a movie and think, that's weird, that's random, that's a coincidence. Are they trying to subliminally influence me when I'm watching that movie, or is somebody just having fun back at the movie studio? Maybe some, you know, genius movie editor guy as some sort of subplot he's building into this. Why are they doing it? What's their motive?
Well, the motive is multi-layered. You can look at it in some instances. I've documented where things are put in as a joke. It's an inside joke, you know, between the writer and the producer or something like that. You can also look at it, and I don't buy this argument that it's a coincidence, that it's just turning up by complete accident. I do not believe that to be the case either. Then you get into, is it being intentionally placed? And I think most times that is the case. You can document this idea, which I talk about in the book, and this ties into the psychiatrist Carl Jung with the collective unconscious, that there are certain things just inherent in our subconscious mind that, you know, through the creative process, just turn up irregardless of our original intention. But I do believe that most of it is intentionally placed. So then it begs the question, why are they doing this? I think in a lot of times you're dealing with very arcane mythological themes that this ties into Carl Jung, the subconscious mind is very much drawn to. You will find this clearly the case with things of Star Wars, The Lord of the Rings, The Matrix movie. These are essentially the same movie, the Harry Potter films as well. These are all essentially the same movie, just repackaged with different characters, different names, but essentially is the same overarching story. And you can also look at it in a way. I think in some movie makers' cases, I think this is really the case with people like Stanley Kubrick and Darren Aronofsky, when they really go to these great lengths to embed this arcana in their films. It's almost like a challenge in some point in some of their creative process of, I'm going to tell this story, but I'm going to really, you know, rely on this ancient mythology or alchemy or astrology, and I challenge you to try to find it. And I'll give you little clues along the way, but I want you to see if you can unlock this on your own. And then another way to look at it is, really, and it's sort of like a piece of sacred geometry almost. It's like incorporating things like the golden ratio or the Vesica Pisces into a cathedral, a Gothic cathedral or something like that. It imbues the building with this sort of divine presence. And it's kind of the same thing with a movie, paralleling it, that by incorporating this ancient mythology, this ancient religion, these archetypes, you're really transforming the celluloid into living mythology, and the subconscious mind and the conscious mind as well is very much drawn to that. The movie making industry is printing money off this material.
And one of the theories that I heard, for example, sort of a close cousin to what you're talking about here, is this whole notion of backmasking. Back in the 70s, I remember my church, which was an evangelical church, they were really big into warning us young people that if you spin some of these records backwards, you would hear messages. And once that sort of got to a fever pitch where it turned out that we find out later that some of these rock groups actually intentionally did that to kind of titillate and create even a greater popularity for themselves. So there could be that element of it. But then do you think that any of these movie makers could actually be trying to tap into something like the occult or some dark force by maybe paying tribute to a demon or to just the dark side of things by this kind of secret message that they're encrypting into their movie?
I think that's really more of a subjective take on it. I mean, I don't believe that by incorporating this material, there is necessarily a sinister agenda behind it. I've heard this before. It's not something I necessarily really buy into. I think it's more of a case, it's more mythology than it is like a sinister motive behind it. I understand that argument. I mean, I've heard it before myself. But I think when you the way I break it down in the book was, and just looking at these very arcane themes that were going on, I did not subscribe any sort of sinister notion behind it or sinister force. In some instances, I mean, it's very clever. I mean, it's very sublime. And some of the lengths that these guys will go to. But I really couldn't document that there was like when I say this, I mean, some of the themes are occult in nature. That I don't dispute. I mean, you're dealing with themes relating to tarot cards, the archetypes, occult themes in The Exorcist, which you mentioned, things like that. But I don't believe the idea of concealing hidden themes in movies or underlying mythology in movies was necessarily an evil.
What about something as innocent as going up to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee, which I do several times a week? Why in the world would Starbucks actually put in their logo, and I'm getting this right from your book,
Brian,
the legendary female spirit, I believe it's pronounced Melusine or Melusina, could be pronounced that way also. Why would they do that? I mean, what are they trying to do? Upset people who are maybe like conservative Christians or people that sort of don't buy into all of that? I mean, why would they, for example, they wouldn't put like a picture of Jesus Christ in the middle of that with a cross? Why a coffee shop would even go there? Why not just have a cup of coffee as your logo?
Right. The idea behind that is, again, you're dealing with a mermaid and ancient mythology, and Melusine is a very powerful image. So, again, this is sort of like what Carl Jung talked about with drawing upon these images in your unconscious mind that they're bringing to life. It's really that sort of notion that's behind this. And Jung got this from the Greek philosopher Plato,
But then, Robert, you know, my challenge to that would be how many people, if you were to do a survey, go up to a Starbucks and ask 100 people coming out, do you know who Mel Yousine is? I can't imagine.
They're gonna say no.
Right. But somewhere in our subconscious, maybe it's there. All right. When we come back from this break, the president is renaming Mount McKinley. We'll tell you what movie that's connected to. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Recent statistics show that gun sales are absolutely going through the roof. Honestly, it's no wonder today that people are buying guns in such record numbers. I just stumbled across a very, very interesting way to cash in on the explosion in firearm sales. Did you know that you can legally set up a home-based gun dealership and the cost to obtain a federal firearms license is ridiculously low? As an FFL dealer, you can even buy your own guns and ammo at wholesale. Now, if you'd like to get all of the details and the information you need to get started in a business like this, check out the website HomeGunBusiness.com. That's HomeGunBusiness.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guy, I am so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. The book, which is absolutely fascinating. I went ahead and grabbed the Kindle version of this, and it's just amazing. Even if you're someone who isn't a big movie fan, it's just really fascinating to see all of the hidden symbolism in all of pop culture today, including movies. We're going to be getting into in this hour, we're going to be talking about the Smurfs. We're going to be talking about the Beatles. We're going to be getting into some of your favorite movies like Star Wars. But I want to go to something in the news, Robert. The president is going to be heading to Alaska. And one of the big things he's going to do there, it might be the biggest accomplishment of his presidency, he's renaming Mount McKinley to Denali. That's the renaming. So I thought, wow, this is connected to tonight's show. Because Mount McKinley, that was named after our 25th president of the United States, William McKinley, you talk about President McKinley in your book in the section on The Wizard of Oz. So I thought, let's have some fun and start with that.
Yeah, that's a great segue. That is absolutely correct. When you're dealing with The Wizard of Oz book and movie, you're dealing with three levels or layers of symbolism, and I'll just try to go through this quickly as possible. You obviously have just the one that most people see, the adventure of this little girl, goes on this magical, you know, land, has an adventure, goes home, end of story, have a nice life. But then you have these other two deeper levels. One is somewhat more known, well known than the other, is you have this political allegory. The Wizard of Oz is a political allegory from around 1895. To around 1905, where the Wizard of Oz himself is actually President William McKinley. McKinley's administration was, well, part of it was, in 1895, there was this massive depression, and what he was trying to do was use the gold and silver standard to back paper money. And, of course, this is why the gold standard or the yellow brick road always leads to the creation of paper money, you know, or the backing of paper money, which is, of course, Emerald City. This is why, you know, McKinley dwells in the green, you know, the green paper, you know,
wow,
monetary city. And in the book, in the book, there was another thing. You know, with the gold standard, there was also something called the Free Silver Movement, which was the use. It was the same thing. It was the use of silver to back paper money. In the book, the slippers that Dorothy wears are actually silver, not ruby. And again, this was the same sort of theme, that the silver and the gold lead to the creation of the paper
money.
Now,
the ruby, is that when they colorized the movie later, they became red?
Well, they actually, the story that I've heard about this is, there's a couple stories about this, that when they made the movie, they filmed, obviously, the Oz portion in Technicolor, which was a brand new technology at the time. I've heard conflicting stories with this, that they wanted the slippers to be just as bright as possible, so they went with ruby or the red. In the book, they're silver, and there's a story out there. I cannot pin it down whether it's true or not, that the silver slippers did not look right on the gold on the gold pathway. They didn't come out right. She was wearing white socks, and it looked like she had no feet, is what I'm being told. Or I've read online, or I read it in a book somewhere. So ultimately, they made the decision to go with the ruby slippers, which obviously stood out against the yellow brick.
And McKinley was the little man behind the curtain who was, in essence, big hat, no cattle. A guy who the implication would be was just a scammer. He was just getting people to think that he was much bigger than he really was.
That's certainly one way of looking at it, and it's interesting, too, because this is something I wrote another book I'm not going to talk about, but I wrote another book about about Freemasonry, and McKinley was a Freemason. And if you actually watch the movie, the actual wizard, the guy who's behind the curtain, the actor that plays him is actually made up to look like McKinley. He does look like him a little bit.
Oh, he does. I did not realize that until I'm reading your book, and I'm like, yep, that's it. That makes total sense. What about the three characters? The Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow. Is there anything unique about any of them?
Oh, absolutely. The idea was that on the political allegory level of this, that the Tin Man is the American laborer, the Scarecrow is the American farmer, and you had the Tin Man as the laborer. In 1895, as I mentioned, there was this massive depression, and laborers were laid off. They, you know, in droves. They eventually went back to work through the oil companies, Standard Oil, the Rockefellers, put them back to work. And when they encounter Tin Man, he's immobile. He can't move. He's unemployed. So they have to oil him up to get him back to work. So it's this esoteric reference to the American laborer being put back to work through the oil company.
Who was the what was the lion?
The cowardly lion is a combination of two people. It's McKinley's Democratic challenger, William Jennings Bryan, or his socialist challenger, Eugene Debs, who were all bark, no bite, hence making them a cowardly lion.
That's amazing, and you're right on with all that. Now, is a lot of the conclusions that you draw in your writing, are you sort of an eclectic? You're taking some of maybe some longstanding views that others have arrived at and maybe analyzing those, and then in some cases making some conclusions that are uniquely your own?
Well, I think the way this book was born was when I was writing, my first book was a book on Freemasonry, and it was really a 20-year study of studying like esoteric symbols, magic, alchemy, sorcery, secret societies. And what I did was, when I got done that book, the final chapter of that book dealt with hidden Masonic symbols and themes in movies, and I had noticed this was going on in other movies, and it was going on in Hollywood. I was seeing it in other movies. In fact, the final chapter of the Royal Arch book had to deal with Masonic symbols. So I essentially, Jim, took the 20 years of research and turned it on Hollywood. And when I do an analysis of a movie, sometimes I'm aware of some of this beforehand. I mean, I knew the Star Wars movies were based on the works of Joseph Campbell. But what I kind of did was, when I watched a movie, for starters, not every movie that I watched contains this material. It was one of those things. I only analyzed a movie that I was 100% certain of that it was going on in. And then for me, it was really discovering the context of the movie. And this is so key to this research and the book is, was I dealing with archetypes? Was I dealing with concepts of the Campbell monomyth with Star Wars? Were I dealing with a Gnostic theme? Were I dealing with a Christian theme? Was I dealing with alchemy? Was I dealing with Freemasonry? If there were archetypes, were they astrological? Were they religious? Were they tarot card? And you watch a movie, it takes me many multiple times to watch it. And I just through doing this and through this 20 years was picking up on these themes, that I was discovering. And again, the book was based on this research and I just tried to present
it. Interesting. And it probably helps too now that with the internet age, you can probably crowdsource a lot of this, discussion of, hey, did anybody see this? What do you think about that? And then you sort of get into these, these forums where everybody kind of bats their own ideas around. All right, we've got a break coming up. After the break, we'll take some of your phone calls also on this. We're going to talk about the Smurfs and something shocking that you would have never thought about Papa Smurf. We're going to get into that. We'll also be talking about the movie Star Wars and the Beatles. And we're taking your phone calls at 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432, or questions by email, jim@christianmoney.com. Robert Sullivan, Cinema Symbolism. We will be right back.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
We are back next week. My guest, live from Israel, Harry Moskoff, will join us to discuss his book. He also has a documentary out. The book is called The Ark Report, The Ark of the Covenant and the Tunnels of Israel. Wow. We're going to go all the way back to Indiana Jones here, The Ark of the Covenant, next week in hour number two. We're having a fascinating conversation here tonight with Robert W. Sullivan IV. His book is Cinema Symbolism, and we're talking about these hidden symbols in movies, and it goes all the way back to movies, you know, of yesteryear, like The Wizard of Oz, but now we're going to bring it a little bit more up to date. We are going to open it up for your phone calls and also questions by email. Remember, emailers, please include your city. We require that or we won't take your question. And callers, you always go to the front of the line. You can join us right now, interrupt the conversation, 877-317-6432. Your own question about a movie that maybe you've watched and you thought maybe there was something going on there, a little bit more to it than what they might have let on, 877-317-6432, or even a disagreement. Hey, you want to jump in here and say, no, I see this movie. I think The Wizard of Oz was about this other president, not President William McKinley. 877-317-6432. And you are listening live if you're listening on a Sunday night between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern. Okay, Robert, so let's talk about Papa Smurf. And this I saw this and I said, it can't be. Now you're going to ruin my Smurf love here. I used to love the Smurfs, but now I don't think not so much anymore after reading this.
Well, I don't think it's anything too negative or anything. well, the Smurfs are an interesting. You know, I'm actually writing Cinema Symbolism to this book sequel. And I'm doing the Walt Disney material, and Disney gets a bad rap. But you know, the Smurfs. Some of the stuff going on in the Smurfs make the Disney material look lightweight. You have the entire entire idea of the Smurfs in themselves are really a perfected communist village. They're communists. You know, you have Papa Smurf in the red, you know, of the communists, and you know he looks like Karl Marx. You know, with his white beard, I mean, he looks just like him, and he actually
he
actually wears the red cap of the Saint Culottes during the French Revolution. These are the proto Marxists, and of course, if you just break down the Smurfs, you know, basically, I mean, they all you know work and live rent free. All their houses are identical. They all dress alike, and they're all just these little perfected communists. It's a
and they all voted for Obama, right? And now they're all. Now they're all excited about. Well, it wouldn't be Hillary; it would be Bernie Sanders would be their man. So.
I suppose so. but yeah, though the Smurfs have this political allegory going on, and then you get into this whole idea of their villain, which is Gargamel, and you can look at him two ways. You can look at him as either either representing the United States, you know, as being greedy capitalists who's always trying to undermine the Smurfs. And even when Gargamel was introduced, the first thing he was trying to do was perfect alchemy and create gold and transform base metal into gold. So you have this greed factor going on with Gargamel. Of course, another way to look at him is you know, sort of the magician who wears the black, lives in the hovel. You know, you certainly can look at him as sort of like Nazi Germany, who is of course the archenemy of the communists. You know, prior to the Cold War. And Gargamel is a very dark character. It's more in the comics. It's flirted with in the cartoon. But you know, I mean, he really does some really dark things. When he's introduced, he tries to sacrifice a Smurf again to perfect this thing called the Philosopher's Stone to create alchemy and transmute base metal into gold. Then he's always trying to go after the Smurfs, and this is when he actually performs a form of magic or sorcery and creates what's called a Kabbalistic Golem. He takes a lump of clay and imbues it with life, and out comes Smurfette, the female Smurf. And the sole purpose of her is to go into the communist village and sow discord and chaos and kind of undermine them. And then, of course, later on, Papa Smurf catches wind of this, and he actually uses the white, you know, he performs like white magic and transforms the Smurfette of Gargamel into the Smurfette with the white high heels and the blonde hair that everyone knows and loves. So,
and this this is a show for kids, so you would think who would be getting all of this second and third and fourth layer of things going on here, but they think maybe there's a subliminal benefit to, I mean, do you think the creators of Smurf were really trying to pass a philosophy on to kids there? What were they up to?
Well, the Smurfs actually date from this is often the case a lot of times, is if the story or the cartoon is based on a previous story, a lot of times the material will rub off into the you know, the television or the movie production. And the Smurfs were a very came out of a French magazine, which was very satirical and very political. So it sort of rubbed off on the television show and the movies. But a lot of times, I've been asked this before, is, you know, and you'll find this in the Walt Disney materials, you know, why do you find these really dark adult themes going on in Disney movies, which are aimed for kids? And it's the same thing with the Smurfs. And a lot of times, it's, you know, the answer for that is, it's twofold, is obviously a child's mind is just as influential as an adult's mind, in some cases even more so. And another reason is because it's the adult who is eventually, you know, buying the toys or taking the kids.
Oh yeah,
to see
they say, what is it? What is that show that SpongeBob has a lot of adult jokes hidden in it? So you say, well, why would that be? Well, because parents are watching it with their kids. So
right,
a little
right.
bit something kind of built in there for the parents.
All right, let's go
to the Beatles here. And I'm looking at the cover of the album for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And you have highlighted a bald man that's standing in the back row. You almost wouldn't see it without your magnification there of that. What's going on with this album cover with the Beatles?
Right. Well, I got into this early on in the book because I felt if I was going to talk about movies, I couldn't just leave the music industry alone. And, you know, I was obviously the book is about this sort of hidden, you know, occult influence, and not only occult, but, you know, art, religious, art, you know, themes. But, of course, you will find this in the music industry as well. And, of course, the guy that you're talking about is none other than Aleister Crowley, who appears on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. In the upper left-hand corner, and Crowley is probably more well-known to music enthusiasts as being a heavy influence upon the band Led Zeppelin. But there he is on the Beatles album as well. And the reason that there's a couple reasons I introduced this was introduced early on in the book was number one is the Beatle album covers are very unique. And they tell this story, and this has been well documented.
So is that actually him in that picture, like they brought him in for that shot, or is that just a likeness of him?
Oh, no, that's like when Sgt. Pepper was being put together, they're actual photos of the celebrity, but they're cutouts.
Right, because he would have been dead by that time, right?
Oh, yeah, he was long dead.
Right.
Crowley died, I want to say, in 1947. So this was 20 years later. So no, Crowley was dead. They're real images of the celebrity or of the person, but they're like cardboard cutouts. They're not real. You know.
Oh, okay. So this was before Photoshop. So they couldn't Photoshop him in. So they made a cardboard cutout and put him in there.
That's right.
With the other celebrities that are in there.
That's
and
correct.
I was never a big Beatles fan. So I can see that now enlarging this. Some of the other celebrities in the back row. Now, were there other meanings assigned to the various other celebrities in the back row there?
Well, the idea was with it was they when the Beatles were doing this with Sgt. Pepper's, they were not going to be the Beatles. They were going to go out and they created this thing called the Lonely Hearts Club Band, and they decided, well, who are we going to put in this thing? And to make a long story incredibly short, essentially Paul McCartney wanted Hollywood types and celebrities. John Lennon wanted the philosophers and the politicians. George wanted the occultists and the mystics. So Crowley's most likely there through George Harrison.
So quite a large cast of characters there. All right, when we come back, we'll take some calls, some email questions, and we'll start with talking about Star Wars here in our final segment with Robert Sullivan, Cinema Symbolism. We'll be right back. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Have you seen websites or even heard radio ads offering guns for sale? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Did you know that if someone buys a gun mail order, it must be shipped first to a local federally licensed firearms dealer? Now, the local dealer can make $25 to $50 for simply receiving the gun and doing the paperwork for the buyer. Now, most people don't know that they can do this. They can become a fully licensed federal firearms dealer for under $200, operate a business like this from home, and just doing these simple transfers, they can earn hundreds of dollars per week. Now, that's not all. As an FFL, you can also buy guns and ammo wholesale for yourself. Check it out today, HomeGunBusiness.com. The website, HomeGunBusiness.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back, and this is our final segment. The hour has gone so quickly, and there's so much more. This is one of those books where you have to get the book to read this because you won't believe it, and it's so detailed, documented, footnoted. It's wonderfully written. It's called Cinema Symbolism. You can get the Kindle version for $10, or you can get a paperback for $23. Very, very interesting. The questions are flowing in by email, as is usually the case, but if you want to call in, you jump to the head of the line, 877-317-6432. And I know I promised Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, and we're going to get to that in a second because we have questions on that. But I want to get to this question because I'm in my Kindle desktop app, so I was able to search this real quickly. Somebody from Jacksonville, Florida here wants you to comment on Elvis and the Masons. And I just put that in, and you actually do talk about that in your book, right?
Right. It's really not Freemasonic per se. It's more lengthy, but what I do in the book was I discovered this when I was writing it. It was just one of these things that I the more I started researching, I just couldn't believe it. And to make a long story short was, and this ties into, again, going back to Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, he put forth this theory called synchronicity, which basically holds that certain people seem to live lives and have things happen to them for reasons we don't know, but there it is. And with Elvis Presley, it is absolutely amazing. And I talk about it in the book. To my knowledge, I'm the only person that got into this, that's discovered this. Is there is this huge solar allegory going on surrounding the life of Elvis Presley. His life, for lack of a better word, is one solar reference than another.
And I'm looking at a picture here you have of Sun Records, which is where he recorded. Then he's in his white jumpsuit that has the sun on it, and on and on and on, and that's connected to the Masonic influence, apparently.
No, it's not. It's not really Freemasonic per se. It can be, but you have the idea with this was that the sun god is, of course, Apollo, and Apollo is the patron of music. So you have Elvis as the sort of Apollonian sun god, you know, the king of rock and roll. being born under the house of Capricorn, which is what the winter solstice occurs, when the sun is born again or newly born. He dies under the house of Leo, which is ruled by the sun. You have the whole idea of Sun Records being in Memphis, Tennessee, which parallels the Egyptian Memphis, Egypt.
And Freemasonry, isn't that the group that worships the sun, the Freemasons?
Well,
allegedly?
I am a Mason. Well, I am a Freemason, and I mean, the sun plays an important symbol within Masonry, but I wouldn't go so far as to call it sun worship.
Okay, fascinating. A great question from one of our listeners here in Jacksonville, Florida. Now we move on. All right, I'm going to do a twofer here because we've got Dallas, Texas, and we have Chicago, my hometown. They're both writing almost the same email here, but they're making reference to two different movies, which I was going to talk about anyway, have you comment on. Star Wars, Dallas, Texas wants to know, they always saw connections between Star Wars and the Christian story of the Bible. And then we have Chicago saying the same thing about Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, connection to the biblical story. Now, you said earlier in the interview that The Lord of the Rings and Star Wars are ostensibly the same story, just repackaged. A lot of Christians see a biblical narrative there happening. Is that right, or is there something else going on?
So that's somewhat correct. I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. You have the idea of sort of the person is the savior figure. You know, you could call this character the Christ archetype. Who is the savior figure. And, of course, in Star Wars, this would be the first three Star Wars movies. This would be Luke Skywalker, who is you know, going to save the galactic, you know, save the universe or the galaxy from the evil galactic empire. And, of course, this is the same thing in Lord of the Rings, where you have Frodo Baggins, who is going to save Middle-earth from the evil Dark Lord. And, of course, this is paralleling, you could say, the New Testament story of Jesus battling, you know, Satan or the devil. You know, battling for the souls of a, you know, the galaxy or of Middle Earth, and it really ties into a lot of religious, you know, symbolism, but it also ties into this idea of and it's intertwined, it's interrelated of what this mythologist and this symbolist named Joseph Campbell talked about with this monomyth, that he got into this idea of the savior archetype, and when he goes on this quest to save, you know, the galaxy or the universe, or go on a savior mission, certain things happen to him. You know, he gets a magical aid, or you know, he encounters like a sacred feminine, and you'll find this in Star Wars, and you'll find this in Lord of the Rings. You'll also find it in the Matrix movies, and you'll also find it in Harry Potter. It's the same sort of theme, this savior figure who is going to save some sort of universe or galaxy from this dark evil lord, whether it be Sauron or Voldemort or, you know, the Emperor and Darth Vader. So, yeah, you can definitely see a nexus.
Anything else unique about, you mentioned the Matrix, anything else unique about the Matrix? The blue pill, red pill scene, that's something you hear a lot of people, you know, making reference to that. Even our pastor had used that in his sermon, I think, last year, the red pill, blue pill thing. Tell us a little bit about the Matrix.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have enough time to go into this. The Matrix movie, the first one more than the other two, but they all three have it, is really the Gnostic religion on film. It's really Gnosticism proper, the first Matrix movie. The whole thing with the blue and red pill, there's a couple ways to look at it. I break it down several ways in the book. We don't have time to get into it really right now. But one of the things I could tell you with the blue pill, putting someone into it, keeping someone in a state of stasis or unconsciousness, this originates from a movie that came out in the early 80s called Saturn III. And there was a pill in that called the Blue Dreamer. And then when they went into outer space, they took this pill that put them in this sort of semi-unconscious state. And, of course, this is what the blue pill does in the Matrix. It returns you, you know, to your unconscious state, unaware of the Matrix. This actually turns up, believe it or not, 2 years later or 2 years earlier before the Matrix was released in a movie that I also break down in cinema symbolism called The Fifth Element. And if you remember one. Yeah, that's interesting because it's the same thing where Dallas Corbin, who is Bruce Willis, and he's with the Fifth Element, who is played by Mila Jovanovic, I think her name was, Lilu. They go into outer space to a place called Flossed in Paradise, and when they're on board the spaceship, they have to be knocked out. They have to be rendered unconscious to make this journey. If you recall this, the stewardesses who put them to sleep are in blue uniforms, and they're wearing the exact same shade of blue. So this whole thing with the blue pill keeping you in a state of unconsciousness comes originally from Saturn III, from the early 80s. Then you'll find it in The Fifth Element, and then, of course, it's the blue pill in the Matrix movie. And believe it or not, and again, we don't have time to get into this. There's actually a Freemasonic hint to that as well, between this idea of red and blue.
And we'll save that for people who want to grab the book. But one last thing I want to have you touch on. We have about a minute here.
Yeah.
Tell us about James Bond 007. Is there a meaning in the 007?
Oh, absolutely. This ties into Aleister Crowley. This is why I introduced him early in the book. The guy who wrote... the guy who wrote the James Bond stories was a man named Ian Fleming, who supervised Aleister Crowley during World War II. And you will find this heavy hermetic occult influence upon James Bond. To answer your question, the 007 reference, the 007, is an occult homage to this English astrologer and magician named Dr. John Dee, who served as Queen Elizabeth I's spymaster and astrologer and magician. He formulates a system of sorcery called Enochian magic. But to make a long story incredibly short, when he would write an espionage correspondent to Queen Elizabeth I, he would sign it 007 or 007. The actual symbol is supposed to be eyeglasses. It's two circles with a line over it and a line down it, meaning that he was her eyes in the field, or that the correspondent was for her eyes only. And of course, Fleming, the spy master during World War II, hung around with Crowley, saw this and liked it enough. So the James Bond 007 is actually a reference
for your eyes only. There's the lyric right there. Wow. I have chills. We connected all that together. Amazing. Well, we're definitely going to have you back. Robert Sullivan, you're a brilliant guy. Wonderful book. I highly recommend it. Cinema Symbolism. Grab it on Amazon. Do you have a website, sir?
Yes, Jim. Thank you for having me on. I thought the show was tremendous. If you're interested in me and the book and my books, visit my website. It's the easiest way to buy them and find out more information about me, www.robertwsullivaniv.com. That's the letter I, the letter V. My name is Robert W. Sullivan IV, robertwsullivaniv.com.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back. Next week, we go live to Israel. Harry Moskoff, the Ark of the Covenant and the Tunnels of Israel, when we return to Jim Paris Live. Talk to you next time. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris, and if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.